Our scripture reading this morning from the Gospel according to Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 17. He told his next story to some who were complacently pleased with themselves over their moral performance and looked down their noses at the common people. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax man. The Pharisee posed and prayed like this: "O God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, crooks, adulterers, or heaven forbid, like this tax man. I fast twice a week and tithe on all my income." And meanwhile, said Jesus, the tax man slumped in the shadows, his face in his hands, not even daring to look up, said, "God, give mercy. Forgive me, a sinner." Jesus commented, "This tax man, not the other, went home made right with God." If you walk around with your nose in the air, you're going to end up flat on your face. But if you're content to be simply yourself, you will become more than yourself. People brought babies to Jesus, hoping he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they shooed them off. But Jesus called them back. "Let these children alone. Don't get between them and me. These children are the kingdom's pride and joy. Mark this. Unless you accept God's kingdom in the simplicity of a child, you will never get in." Here ends our scripture reading. May it be that we sense God's presence in our midst as we think a bit deeper about what we just heard. Brothers, sisters, friends, John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, is known to have been a very humble person. And one day he was walking along a narrow path when he met a man who intensely disliked him. Immediately the man said to Wesley, "I never step aside for a fool." Wesley replied, "I always do." And he stepped aside. In the scripture that we just heard, Jesus told a delightful story. And we can so clearly see the picture. Two people are arriving at church for a gathering, a prayer meeting. And obviously they were different in many ways. One of them was a Pharisee. That's one of those who were supposed to understand and study scripture and interpret it for others. Pharisee. And this man, nothing bad to say about him. He was well respected, very religious, and he was actually setting a good example to everyone. Now, when we come to the other one, that's not so easy. He was exactly the opposite. First of all, just based on the job that he held, he was a despised tax collector for the enemy, for the Romans. So, without him doing anything wrong, many, many people considered him to be a traitor and a thief. So, the one of them marched straight up to the altar, perfect for a photo opportunity. Oh, if only they had cameras in those days, because he was actually spreading his colorful robe, cleared his throat, and he prayed out loud. "Oh God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, crooks, adulterers, or I think he opened his eyes and he looked and said, "Heaven forbid, like this tax man." And then he went on to telling God how, what a splendid person he was. "I fast twice a week and I tithe on all my income." Boy, and they are still welcome in our times, aren't they? Yes, what a great person to be in the temple and say all this stuff. Was it all good? Is it proper? Remember, this is a story that Jesus is telling. He says, but meanwhile, the taxman was slumped in the shadows, his face in his hands, not even daring to look up. And here's his prayer. "God, give mercy. Forgive me, a sinner." And then the story that Jesus told takes on new meaning. The tax collector had something that the Pharisee badly needed. I was trying to think, how can we describe it in one term? And best I could come up with the gift of inadequacy. One gift that he had to that point not yet received. And people who have the gift of inadequacy realize that they are not complete. And they sense that they need forgiveness. And that they badly need the graceful presence of God. So, in this story, Jesus actually tells us that inadequacy is a necessary prelude to grace. And without such a sense of inadequacy, the Pharisee's prayer was nothing but empty words, filled with a sincere sense of unworthiness. The poor sinner's plea for mercy echoed its way right to the heart of God. The Pharisee indeed was a good, outstanding citizen. He was the type of person that we would be proud to have as a part of our community and our church. He enjoyed the work he did. He was thanking God that he was able to perform his duties. But in the microscope of Jesus Christ, it became clear that there was something missing in his life. Something was desperately wrong, and he just did not get it. He thought he could win God's favor by his own accomplishments. And instead he was alienating himself, not only from God, but also from others, because of his proud, "I'm better than you" attitude. He was so full of himself that there was no place or even need for God left in his life. He failed to realize that we draw closer to God and to others when we are able to admit our shortcomings and rely on the grace of our loving God. Friends, and without a true relationship with God, our lives will never be full, will always remain something missing, something short, just a little incomplete. The apostle reminds us, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. No exceptions. No exceptions even this very morning. In 1 John we find the verse saying, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So understanding our state, our inadequacy, that becomes a prelude to grace. Tax collector, aware of and ashamed of the life that he lived, he could not even assume the proper prayer stance. He could not even look up to heaven. And when he prayed, he called his attention, God's attention to his sins and not to his accomplishments. He opened himself up to God, trusting in God and not in himself. And when he prayed, the Bible says, God heard his prayer. And aware of his need for God, the tax collector was touched and changed. And in a moment's time, he was reaching out and touching the face of God. You know, there's a truth in the saying, there's so much good in the worst of us, so much bad in the best of us, that it ill behoves any of us to find fault with the rest of us. Some people put on their holier-than-thou expressions and let people think that they have it all together. And, church folks, many people write church people off, calling us a bunch of super saints. Many people out there don't like us. Ever experienced that? And it's not that all of them don't like us out there. Some of them prefer to rather avoid us. Not because they don't like us, but because we make them feel so unworthy when they're in our presence. Sometimes we must be honest before coming to the Lord's table with humility, with need, with prayers. We just need to look deep into ourselves. Look around us. I don't see anyone with a harp, a halo, or a set of wings, and I have the vantage to see everybody. No harps, no halos, no wings. And that's to prepare us all for the truth, that the church is a wellness center where people come to get well and to stay strong so that they can take on life and its many challenges. The church is never a museum for saints. Closing question. Personal question. I had to answer it for myself. Very tough when you prepare a sermon. You get it, have to get it by an ever-present God before you step into a pulpit. It's never easy. Sometimes we do have to ask ourselves, do I have God's gift of inadequacy? Do I make my way to church in search of wholeness, inner peace and joy, a joy that passes all understanding? Oh yes, there's so much better to do than trumpeting our own perceived accomplishments. And even now, this moment, we may embrace the time of quietness and to have something to tell God about what we need so desperately in our own lives today. And deeper still, to receive God's gift, the gift of peace. Did you ever get up from your knees and sensed, I am forgiven? You haven't yet. Do it. It's good. It changes your life. Real prayer comes from deep within. Real prayer exposes our soul and being before God. Left all of us just to say one phrase. God, give mercy. Before we come to the table, are we ready to do just that? And if your heart just told you, oh, I'm ready, come then, all of us, the table of grace, of forgiveness, and mercy is once again prepared for you and for me. Amen.